Diamond upstages Cessna to become the first with Garmin's synthetic vision. Garmin adds flight charts and safe taxi to the GMX200. And EAA's insurance now includes powered parachutes and weight shift trikes. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 9th, 2008. At the time we released yesterday's AeroCasts, the big news was Garmin's new synthetic vision system for the G1000 would debut on the Cessna Citation Mustang this summer. Lo and behold, Diamond Aircraft showed up on opening day at Lakeland with the G1000 SVT installed in a DA-40 and announced its availability to buyers of new Diamond Stars as a $10,000 option. Garmin's SVT presents a 3D color depiction of terrain, obstacles, and traffic on the G1000's primary flight display. It shows pilots what they'd see outside the cockpit on a clear day. Diamond Aircraft President Peter Maurer heaped praise on Garmin. Quote, "The technology is incredible, but what is really sensational is the price. Until now, synthetic vision of this quality was reserved for military or large jets and cost several $100,000. Garmin truly deserves credit for pioneering such affordable safety enhancements." Unquote. Although it was somewhat overshadowed by synthetic vision, Garmin's other news on Monday was enhancements to the GMX200 multifunction display. It gives pilots the benefit of Garmin flight charts and Garmin Safe Taxi. These new database offerings greatly enhance situational awareness during taxiing and simplify the availability of procedural information during all phases of pilot operations. Flight charts and Safe Taxi are being demoed at Garmin's booth in Lakeland. Garmin Flight Charts is an electronic version of the National Aeronautical Chart Office U.S. Terminal Procedures publication. Safe Taxi allows GMX200 owners to taxi around unfamiliar airports with a display which clearly identifies runways, taxiways, FBOs, hangars, and the aircraft's exact location on the field. It includes over 850 U.S. airports and diagrams, and Garmin promises new airport charts as additional data becomes available. Safe Taxi updates are available every 56 days. Also on Lakeland's opening day, the Experimental Aircraft Association announced that the EAA Aircraft Insurance Plan, which already serves thousands of aircraft owners throughout the United States, is now available to owners of powered parachutes and weight shift trikes. Both liability and hull coverage are available through a U.S.-based aviation insurance company. Included are experimental amateur-built special light sport and experimental light sport aircraft categories. Coverage ranges from student pilots to airline transport pilots and includes dual flight instruction. In an opening day surprise at Lakeland, Vans Aircraft began officially taking orders for the wing portions of its new RV-12 light sport aircraft kit. The red final spec RV-12 on display includes a 100 horsepower Rotax 912 ULS engine. And a new wing the company says provides even more docile stalls than the prototype displayed at some aviation shows last year. Vans still promises, quote, "all the performance the light sport category permits," unquote. Attendees at Lakeland are getting demonstrations of the RV-12's removable wing. All control mixing for the flaperons is contained within the fuselage, and the wings align with matching control linkage fittings in the center of the plane when inserted from each side. A secure but simple attachment scheme uses just two fasteners where the wing spars overlap along the floor of the airplane, and an interlock system prevents the engine from being started if parts are misaligned or not secured. Construction time is estimated at 600 to 900 hours, and a well-equipped RV-12 is expected to cost about $55,000. Unlike any previous Vans kit, the RV-12 is planned for operation in the experimental light sport aircraft category, after the FAA announced in February it would suspend adding any more new kits to the so-called 51% list. An audio interview with Vans President Dick Van Grunsven is featured on today's Aero News special feature. Up next on ANN, Cirrus will train customers to private and instrument ratings simultaneously. Aspen will be original equipment in the Liberty XL2. And we get more details on Liberty's layoffs last week. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 9th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Design added to its list of novel programs to improve customer access to its planes on Tuesday, as CEO Alan Klapmeyer chose opening day at Lakeland to announce Cirrus Training Centers and instructors will offer a combined private and instrument training program starting this month. The program's syllabus was designed by Paul Craig, a professor at Middle Tennessee State University who carries Gold Seal multi-engine and instrument flight instructor certificates and is an FAA aviation safety counselor. The program is a first among general aviation aircraft manufacturers. Klapmeyer said Cirrus is proud to lead the industry toward new and improved training initiatives. Quote, by utilizing a combined curriculum that is clearly proven to be beneficial and effective, we look forward to helping build a new generation of highly advanced pilots, unquote. Aspen Avionics announced on Tuesday at Lakeland it has signed an OEM contract with Liberty Aerospace to provide its Evolution Pro primary flight display as standard equipment in the advanced IFR version of the Liberty XL2 and as an upgrade option on other versions of the plane. Aspen CEO John Uzakai said of the relationship, quote, the Evolution flight display in the XL2 will help train the next generation of pilots on advanced glass cockpit techniques and attract more people to become pilots. Aspen earned its FAA TSO and STC in March. After staying vague through the weekend on details of its plans to furlough some of its workers in Florida, Liberty Aerospace now tells Florida Today a total of 50 workers of the 180 employed at the company's Melbourne facility are out of jobs. The company says no more cuts are expected for now. Margaret Napolitan, general counsel for Liberty, said, quote, we don't foresee any changes in the business size for the upcoming year, unquote. The company confirmed that the manufacturer of some parts used in building its XL2 trainer will be shifted to its Romanian partner. Liberty already has 160 employees there. After years of waiting, Liberty received an FAA type certificate for the XL2 in 2006. Employees were optimistic, but some saw the writing on the wall. Former Liberty production lead Michael Carpenter of Merritt Island told the paper, quote, all of us who worked there had enough common sense to know that this might be coming because of the recent changes in the last few months. One employee was sent to Romania to teach the Romanians how to do build-up and wiring. I guess this is just another company that can get it done cheaper by moving overseas, unquote. Earlier, Liberty CEO Keith Markley predicted to local economic development officials that the company would actually add jobs in Florida this year to handle increased work in connection with an agreement to partner with the Chinese government to produce 600 XL2s. More recently, Markley's outlook changed. On Friday, a company statement explained, quote, as Liberty continues to expand production, the expense associated with this growth could be absorbed in the Romanian facility much better than in Florida, unquote. Even at Lakeland, a hush will fall on the otherwise bubbly crowd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time today as Boeing issues an update to investors on the progress of its 787 Dreamliner. Reuters reports analysts anticipate another 6 to 9 month delay on a program which has already fallen about a year behind its original schedule. Boeing has said that problems coordinating its international network of suppliers, the need to redesign parts of the plane, and a shortage of fasteners to assemble the composite fuselage have all been factors beyond its control. Industry observers and, more lately, early 787 customers have been critical of two overly optimistic delay announcements, which will now likely be extended again. Boeing started major assembly on the first Dreamliner last May and was supposed to have the first customer aircraft delivered to Japan's All Nippon Airways next month. Analysts now predict that first delivery will be pushed back as late as September 2009. Still ahead, both the FAA and Southwest reassigned those responsible for maintenance oversights. Two first-time cosmonauts head for the International Space Station. And DOT appoints an aviation czar for the New York airspace. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. According to a report in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the FAA says it has reassigned a senior safety official days after Congress was told about maintenance lapses and ineffective oversight at Southwest Airlines. Thomas Stuckey was the senior flight standards official for the U.S. Southwest region, which includes oversight of Southwest Airlines and American Airlines. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown tells the paper, Stuckey is now in an administrative post with no safety responsibilities. Stuckey makes the third and highest-ranking FAA employee to be reassigned over the Southwest fatigue inspection controversy. On the airline side, Southwest reports it has reassigned maintenance officials. The investigation continues by the FAA, Congress, and the U.S. Department of Transportation. In March, the FAA proposed to fine Southwest over $10 million for letting some 737s with fatigue cracks continue to fly passengers. NASA says Commander Sergei Alexandrovich Volkov and cosmonaut Oleg Dmitrievich Kononenko of the 17th International Space Station crew launched in their Soyuz TMA-12 from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan at 7:16 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday morning to begin 6 months in space. With Volkov and Kononenko is spaceflight participant So Yeon Yi. She's a South Korean flying under contract with the Russian Federal Space Agency. Yi will be at the station only briefly, returning to Earth with Expedition 16 crew members, Commander Peggy Whitson and Flight Engineer Yuri Melenchenko, in their Soyuz TMA-11 on April 19th. Whitson and Melenchenko began their missions on October 10th last year. The 37-year-old Volkov and the 43-year-old Kononenko are both making their first trips into space. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced on Tuesday that Marie Kennington Gardner of Staten Island has been chosen to serve as director of the New York Integration Office. The post was created by the department last year as part of a coordinated effort to address chronic aviation delays in the New York region. Peters says of her appointee, quote, "We've picked a leader in Marie with the skills and acumen to address these tough issues directly," unquote. Kennington Gardner is a New York native with FAA experience who most recently served as director of the Lower Manhattan Recovery Office to coordinate federal emergency transit investments following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Her job will be to coordinate regional airspace issues and all projects and initiatives addressing problems of congestion and delays in New York. And finally, it seems we've only heard about it for a few years, but the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency is celebrating its 50th anniversary this Thursday. The agency is better known by its acronym, DARPA. The Washington Post reports the agency considers its best program managers to be freewheeling zealots with big ideas. The staff has been called 100 geniuses connected by a travel agent. And the boss describes his agency as a home for radical innovation. Agency Director Anthony J. Tether says DARPA conducts, quote, the highest risk type of research you can have. DARPA will take a chance on an idea with no data. We'll put up the money to go get the data and see if the idea holds, unquote. DARPA was formed as a part of the desperate U.S. response to the successful launch of the Soviet man-made satellite Sputnik in 1957. In the intervening half century, DARPA ideas and grants have been responsible for the first computer mouse, carved from wood with one button, and the blueprint which created the Internet itself. DARPA is used to handling large chunks of cash, and that experience will come in handy when it's time to settle the tab for the birthday party. While the agency itself reportedly employs only about 240 people, the celebration will involve a dinner for 1,700 alumni, friends, and partners Thursday night in Washington. The Internet. I wonder if Al Gore will be there. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Vans Aircraft president and lead designer Dick Van Grunsven, who's going to fill us in on details of the Vans RV-12. That's a new light sport aircraft kit that officially went on sale Tuesday morning at Lakeland. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.